They will weigh you down. But that's one avenue that I promise you is in the service this morning. People carrying a heavy load. But then there's others that are carrying heavy burdens. Maybe a child that's out in sin. They may be sitting here in church, but they're still, their heart is far from here. And that's not just young people, by the way. There's a lot of grown-ups who are here in body, but their heart is far from God. Boy, that's a heavy load. That's to try to live the Christian life and fake it, that's hard to do and heavy. You won't last long doing that. And so then others have got burdens of sickness and all kind of financial burdens, marriage problems. My point in all that is you come to a good place not because I'm here, because I can't help you with none of it. Sorry, I can't. I'm just a mere mortal like you. But there's the God of heaven promised that he would meet us where two or three are gathered. He would be in the midst. And he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So if you're tired of dragging that around, whatever it is, and being weighed down with the cares of this world, there's a God in heaven who will be glad to deliver you from that. And you won't have to worry about it, as you just sang. Why should we worry? Amen. Take your Bible this morning just for a few minutes, John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14. And I've just got a short, quick thought. I won't keep you long this morning. That's what every preacher says, ain't it? I figured I'd just go along and say the same. I'm kidding. It shouldn't be long. If you'll listen fast, we'll get done fast. Amen. John chapter 14, you've been seated a while. Let's stand together. We'll reverence God's word as we read it together and stretch your legs a minute. I love the Gospel of John, all of it. I really love chapter 14, some of my favorite verses in the whole Word of God. But I'm going to bypass some of my favorite verses, start out in verse 1. That's as good as you can get. But look down in verse 26 and 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let me back up to verse 26. Sorry about that. I was getting to the main verse that I'll be dealing with this morning. But look at verse 26 too. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Then again, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing as we read together. The context and what's going on in John chapter 14, you know well if you know anything about the Bible and been in church long. This is the day before Jesus was going to be crucified. This is leading right into the crucifixion of the Lord. And the disciples, they're there in the upper room with the Lord, and the disciples were facing their absolute darkest day of being a disciple. I mean, things had been up. Things had been great and glorious and wonderful. And they were, just coming off of a wonderful, powerful three-year run with the Lord, walking, serving, ministering with the Lord Jesus, seeing Him preach in power and hearing the prayers of Christ and seeing God in heaven hear and answer right there on the spot the prayers of Jesus Christ the Son of God, and they would hear him thunder and preach on those shorelines and the seashores, and he would touch blinded eyes and make them see. They saw that. They witnessed all that. And then they would see him go on down the road and touch a withered hand and restore it completely. And then touch a man that had never walked, and he would take up his bed and go running and shouting and praising God. And so what an experience. Could you imagine living and walking and serving Jesus in the flesh during his earthly ministry? 3 years. They slept with him. They eat with him. They prayed with him. They talked with him. They walked with him. That was just as good as it gets. They forsook all. You remember when he came by preaching, they dropped their nets. They dropped their hobbies and their jobs and all that they were about. They dropped it all and followed him. They were mesmerized by him. By the way, if you ever see Jesus by faith, you will drop all and follow him. Not asking, God ain't asking you to quit your, to drop your job. No, some of you need to get a job and keep it. That's right. And go to work and don't be late and work. The Bible says a man that don't work don't need to eat. It's worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible says. Don't come asking me to pay your grocery bill and you're too sorry to work. Amen right there. I'm just siding with God. That's what God said about you. Lazy sot. That's right. But anyway, we're coming back to where we were. As Brother Milton Taylor was saying. Coming back to where we were. Coming back to where we were. They were living the dream. Walking and witnessing all that Jesus had done and was doing. But the closer they got to the cross, the closer they got to Calvary, the harder it got and the fewer people they were that were following. You'll read over and over how the crowds thronged him, the multitudes, they pressed him beyond measure. I mean, everybody wanted to be part of what Jesus was doing. While the miracles were flourishing and while it looked good and it looked easy and everybody could get in on the good. But the closer it got to the reality that all that didn't come cheap, that being God required more than just flaunting some miracle. No, he was God completely, which required him fulfilling what he came here to do, and that was to die. He came and set his face like a flint toward Calvary. He came to die. He was born to die for my sin and for your sin. And the closer he got, the harder it got, and the fewer people they were that were there. And this is the last meeting that he and the disciples would have before he would go to the cross. And there they are in the upper room. You can picture it in your mind's eye. You've seen pictures and paintings and stuff like that. I don't know if that represents it right, but we've all heard the upper room and them meeting. And Jesus is telling them, I'm leaving. And they couldn't grasp that. They couldn't understand what he was saying. Now keep in mind, they went from this major high to this major low. And Jesus tells them, some are going to deny me. Some of you, looking at them, are going to deny me. For tomorrow. He said, one of you is going to go further than that. You're not just going to deny me, but you're going to betray me. And we all know who that was. That was Judas. And then he dropped the real hammer and the real hard news. And that was, on top of all that's going on, those of you that will betray me, those of you that will forsake me and run and deny you ever knew me. He said, I'm leaving, boys. I'm headed out of here. I won't be here any longer with you. There'll be no more of me walking in the flesh. There'll be no more hugging and talking together. I'm leaving. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die And then when I've been killed and buried, I'm going to raise, but then I'm ascending and I'm going to be gone. And they could not believe what they were hearing. They were thinking all of this at one time. We forsook all. We left all that we had. We left our family and our friends and our jobs and you're leaving? But it had to come to pass. But their whole world come crashing in on them. And in the Christian life, pivotal changes happen from time to time. And you can go from a real, real good run in life. I mean, time of just financial gain, a time of peace at home. Nobody knows what that is, do you? I mean, where your wife ain't fussed at you in a month and your children are acting like they got half cents and the bills are paid and the church is going and growing and just life's good, to all of a sudden one phone call comes in and your world is rocked. One doctor's slip telling you that it's your wife or it's your child. And it's all like out of nowhere. Life happens and heartache happens and it don't just seem to come one off. I mean, it's like when they come, problems come in clusters. They come in groups. And you know what Job said, as the sparks fly upward. I mean, you don't ever see somebody grinding a piece of metal in just one spark. No, it's a bunch of sparks and it's a bunch of trouble. Man's a few days and full of trouble. And these guys were getting it right from the Lord Himself that it is going to get hard. And whoever told you, by the way, listen, whoever told you that being a Christian was easy told you a lie. Being a Christian ain't never been promised by anybody biblical and scripturally and spiritually to honestly look you in the face and say being a Christian is easy. It ain't easy. It ain't for sissies. It ain't just I'll dip my toe in. No, being a Christian requires us to go all in and to sign up to be soldiers and to be warriors and to be in a real battle. Battles ain't easy. Battle, being a soldier ain't some small thing. No, it's a big thing. And these guys had it made. Life in luxury, seemed like, with all that had happened. And now it seems to all be coming apart. And so Jesus feels the desperation in them and he sees the sunken look in their eyes and he sees their hearts dropping in their chest and they've just lost all hope. And that's where in verse 26 and verse 27 the Lord Jesus speaks to them and says, I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going and I'm leaving, but I will leave something and some things behind. And boy, we ought to thank God for that this morning. He could have left and left alone, but He left some tremendous truths and some of the greatest gifts we experience and get to have as Christian people. He said in verse 26, He promised them that He'd leave the Comforter. And we know that is the Holy Spirit of God, the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved, I don't have to take time this morning and explain who He is to you. You know Him if you're saved. He that hath not the Spirit hath not life. If you don't know who the Holy Ghost is, you ain't never been saved. That's right. I'm not going to preach on the Holy Spirit this morning. I want to look at verse 27 where He said, peace I leave with you, and My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give unto you. He said, I'm not going to leave you in this shape. He said, I'm going to leave you a supernatural, something you've never experienced, a peace that will pass all understanding, where when the world's falling apart and when people are chasing after to kill you and ridicule you and hang you and crucify you and burn you and saw you in sunder, you'll have peace that the world will not be able to fathom. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And He said, the peace that I have, not just some cheap form of peace, but He said, the peace that I have, give I unto you. This ain't just any peace. This is the peace that Jesus himself experienced and had with the Father. And can you imagine how at one he was with the Father? Can you imagine the peace, knowing all that he had seen prior to coming into to flesh? I mean, he was God. He was the God-man. He knew heaven was real. He knew there were 10,000 angels. He knew God the Father had all power in heaven and in earth. And what peace he had. So much peace that when they were out just months back on the ship and the storm came up and was rocking the boat and they were running for their lives and casting stuff overboard trying to make it on the ship. Jesus was underneath sleeping. Didn't bother him a bit. Tossed to and fro and they came running down and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" He had peace in the storm. And he said, the kind of peace you've seen me have, the kind of peace that I've shown you in the middle of the storm. He said, "I'm leaving, but I'm leaving that peace, my peace, with you. And you won't have to face life alone." And there are several personal gifts that Jesus had that he decided to share with us and give us. Like, I mean, firsthand gifts, personal things that Jesus had, where he said, my peace. These other places where he talked about things that were his. The book of Exodus, he said, "My presence." He said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Then he said in 2 Corinthians 12, "My grace." Not somebody else's, not just some generic grace, but he said, "My grace." He said, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Matthew chapter 16, he talked about my church. He said, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Isaiah 55, he talked about my word. And on and on. I'm not going to preach on all of them this morning. Everybody said amen. I'm just going to hit this snippet, this small piece of peace. Again, we all have, I don't have to tell you this, but we all have good days and bad days. It'd be nice if they were all good, but that just ain't reality. I don't care what Joel Osteen told you. They ain't all smiley like him. They ain't all good and happy. And no, the reality is if you've been a Christian any length of time, you know they ain't all good days. You're gonna have days that you got to plan funerals. You're going to have days where you got to go to the hospital and visit somebody you love. You're going to have days, hey, I know this ain't popular, but you're going to have days, I don't care how much faith you got, you're going to have days where you can't pay your bills. And don't nobody look up here at me sacrilegiously, down your long spiritual snout like you ain't never struggled. I have. Matter of fact, I still do. I still don't have it all together. I still hadn't figured it all out. And I still have trouble in life, and you do too. You might as well drop your facade and quit living like you got it all together, because everybody knows you don't. And you need the peace of God just like I need the peace of God. And if at this very moment you don't need the peace of God, I promise you it won't be long till you will. And you better thank God in heaven if you don't have to have it right now, because you're going to. But I tell you what, I've come to the place, whether it's good times, Brother Wayne, or bad, I've realized I need his peace even in the good times. Everything be seemingly going good, and I still need his peace. But I sure need it in the bad times. And that's where these fellows was, and Jesus let him know that he was going to give his peace and leave it with him. And God knew we would face these hard days, and that's why he left the peace. Listen, David said three or four times in Psalms 42 and 43, David, the psalmist said, my soul, why art thou cast down, Oh, my soul. He was having a rough time. David, being a shepherd, knew that every animal that gets on his back has the ability to get back up again, except for a sheep. A sheep, when they get on their back and they get knocked down and flipped upside down, they do not have the power, the know-how, or the ability to get right up, get right side up. And even other sheep, when they see them down and flipped upside, other sheep can't even get them straightened out. You know who can? A shepherd. And boy, I'm glad that Jesus understood and knew we was going to need help along the journey. And he said, I'll leave you what you need. Listen, Jesus said, I give you this peace. And how many of y'all have ever heard of an Indian giver? I know that ain't politically correct, and I'll probably get sued by the tribe, but God ain't no Indian giver. If he give you something, he ain't going to show up tomorrow demanding it back and saying, I want my peace back. I give it to you yesterday and I want it back. No, he give it to us. And when he promised it to the disciples, it was giving it to the church, every born-again believer. And he showed up one time demanding it back. No, it's still here. And if it's here, it's incumbent upon us to realize and recognize that he has left it with and for us. And to receive it. Why would you live without his peace when it's there for the taking? You don't have to pull your hair out and bite your fingernails to the quick and pop a pill. No, there's peace for you that Jesus left for you. It's a personal gift. Three fast, quick things, if we get to them. Number one, I want to look at, and if it's all we deal with, it's all we'll deal with this morning. But number one, the will of a departing Christ. As I said, Jesus was getting ready to leave. And when he's there, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. People are always, always, tell me if this ain't true, people are always interested in somebody that's getting ready to check out. I'm talking about die. And they might not show up at the funeral or be interested in going to the viewing or the receiving of friends. And they might want to avoid all that, but it's amazing how many people, I've seen this personally, will show up when they get ready to read the will. People be coming from everywhere. And you say, how'd you even find out about this? I didn't see you at the funeral. I didn't know you knew Daddy. I didn't. They'll come from everywhere. People don't want to know what's in the will. Well, I'm talking about Jesus and the will of a departing Christ. He is getting ready while he's living. He's going to tell us some of the stuff he's willing to us and leaving to us. You hardly ever hear of a will being read while a man's still living. But Jesus was saying, I'm going to tell you some of the things I'm going to leave you. And listen, when Jesus left, listen to this. I thought this was interesting. He did leave some things. Matter of fact, he left a lot of things behind. He gave his soul and his spirit, the Bible says, to the Father. I read this and quoted this last week. He, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He gave his spirit and his soul to the Father. He gave his clothes that he was wearing to the soldiers. He gave his body to none other than Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, the body of Christ. He gave his mother to John. But he gave his peace to you and to me. And you can keep his clothes. You can keep all his relics. You can keep any of that. And by the way, all of those things that he give are gone. except for peace.
Amen.
It's still here, and you still have access and availability to it. And I say, what a gift. Thank God He willed that to me, and He willed that to you, and it's still there for you. Amen. He gave us His peace, and all the other things He gave are no longer here except for peace. Keep in mind, as we consider this great gift, this is not some deep theological mystery. This is not something that you'll have to study for years and years and years to figure and find out. No, this is just a simple truth. But it comes from a God who cannot lie. It comes from a person and a God that is faithful and true. And if He said He would give it, He has given it. And if He said it's there, it's there. You don't have to search for it to find it. It's there for you. Amen. You don't have to go to Bible college to get in on the peace of God. No. We're living in days when people are overwhelmed with fear. I'm not going to play CNN, wouldn't want to, or Fox News or none of the rest of them. I'll tell you this, you can cut on your TV when you get home and find out how much fear is going on in this country. They're pushing, fear. We've never lived in days where there's so much fear, even in the church. There's fear everywhere. People are consumed with fear. Never seen it like it is today. Listen to what the Bible says. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Fear is everywhere you look and all around us. But I come to remind us all this morning, you don't have to live in fear. I don't care about some pandemic. I don't care about coronavirus or COVID or whatever word you want to put on it. Hey, listen, you do not have to live in fear. COVID-19 did not dethrone God. God was God before this thing coming into our life, and He'll be God long after it's gone. God, He's a God over COVID. He's a God over cancer. He's a God over me and over you, and we might as well respect the fact and appreciate the fact that He's sovereign God over any of our fear. And if He is, and He is, we might as well take the peace that He will give us that passes all understanding. And we can't figure it out, and we can't... Listen, I have tried to be faithful with this pandemic mess, and it is a mess. Whether it's real. Ask Brother Jackie. I'll give him the microphone. He'll tell you. He just had it. I seen what it did to my wife. It's real. It's still a mess. There's so many people and places of hierarchy that have pushed this stuff and amplified and pushed fear and pushed fear and because they get a little bit more power and they get never have I seen more crooked politicians take advantage of the weakness of people and peddle fear and the news peddle it and it fills people's mind and they get more scared and fear overwhelms, and before you know it they got a little bit more control over you. And a little bit more control over you, and a little bit more control over the church, and a little bit more control here and there, and they like that power.
Yes, sir.
We've just given them power to tell us how to live, and to tell us where we can go, and how we can go, and whether we have to have a mask on, or whether we had to have a needle in our arm, or whether this, or whether I've got to stay 6 feet away from you. And we've just willfully said, okay, and we followed. And they like that power. I did it. I put a mask over my face. I did everything. I stayed 6 feet away. I did all that they said to do for a long time. Are you listening? And we almost replaced that God is who He is with what the government told us we had to do to be safe and to be fear-free. Now, I'd like to remind every one of us this morning, whether there's a pandemic that's way worse than this, or whether it's this one we're living in, He's a God who put you in this world, created you, and let you live, and has blessed you with every day you've ever lived, and He'll be the God when it's your number and your time to go. He will take you out of this world,
sure,
with or without a pandemic. Just buried my cousin. a couple weeks ago. Way down off the road. I was talking to Brother Clifford Phillips the other night. I was talking about how tragic it was that Larry got killed the way he got killed. And got talking about, he said, I know three times that's happened, but Steve Spears and got hit right there in his yard and years ago, and then Junior Stapleton down there on Hammock Grove, come around the corner right there in front of the church, killed him in his yard. And then Larry, I said, yeah, but Larry, I could almost see how Steve got hit right there off that main road, and even Junior down off of Hammock Grove Road. But Larry was so far down in the woods, ain't no way that should have happened. That was crazy. And the Lord just reminded me, it don't matter if you 10 miles in isolation where nobody knows where you at and you've been kept in a bubble, when He's ready for you, you're going to go no matter what. You can have the best doctors, you can have the best insurance, and you can have done everything just right. But when your time has come, you're going. And we should fear the God who gives us life and can take it way more than we do all this other stuff that's being peddled and pushed. Amen, that's right. Well, that ain't popular, but that's the truth. That's the truth. By the way, I'm not being unconcerned or inconsiderate of you. If you want to wear a mask, we got people in this morning with masks on. If you want to wear a mask, have at it. Wear them. If you want to get vaccinated, have at it. If you don't, have at it. That ain't my place as a preacher to tell you what to do. It ain't. My job as a preacher is to tell you what God has done and can do for you. Amen. Amen, that's right. I'm not being rude or crude. I'm not being ridiculous or crazy. I'm just trying to tell you we have lost our marbles when it comes to letting the government pressure and push and the pole of this world telling us how we should live. Now, I'll tell you what we ought to do. We ought to get back to the fear of God as the beginning of all wisdom, and we ought to fear God and put our trust in God and not in man. Amen. Have common sense. Use your head that God give you and trust Him. Amen. And then take the peace that He gives you and go to bed. I hadn't stayed up one night and lost sleep over this thing. About me getting it. I've stayed up many a night with this pandemic worrying about how y'all was handling it. Well, I just ain't coming back because they won't all wear a mask. And others say, well, I just ain't coming back because they want to wear a mask. And I say, won't y'all just grow up and figure it out? How about that?
Amen.
Well, we'll just leave the church if you won't mandate us all. Everybody will do this. I don't believe a president has the power to mandate that. And I can promise you, I, as a preacher and a pastor of this church, don't have the power or right to regulate and mandate you to do nothing. I don't believe it's right for the government to do it. I don't believe it's right for a pastor to do it, and I ain't going to do it.
Yes, sir.
I believe God give you a brain. I think you ought to use it.
Yeah.
I do. And if you think wearing a mask helps you, I applaud you and say, wear on. If you think a shot's going to help you, I say, go get it. And if you think the shot is going to curse you, I think you've lost your mind. It ain't the mark of the beast. I know these people getting rich saying that. Selling CDs and books by the thousands, saying if you get the mark, if you get the vaccine, you've took the mark of the beast. No. It ain't that. The beast has to be here for you to take that. And you ain't gonna take that unwillingly and unknowingly.
That's good. Amen.
Amen. So I think a lot's been made about a little on that. That's right. Well, I'm just simply saying we're living in a day and hour where people are controlled and manipulated by all sorts. Schools, teenagers and those in their younger college level days have been kicked out of their schools and told they couldn't come back to school and lost all the schooling they had because they wouldn't do what the government mandated them to do. Do you know right this coming week or two, they're going to be arguing at the Supreme Court over this vaccine mandate, and it's going to be required. It's a big deal. It's going to be required for all these employers to, and that's going to come right on down to the churches. And that, but what they want to do is make it to where we do have to mandate here at the church so they can have control over the churches. That's exactly where they're heading and what they're doing. And I just say, back up, don't participate. It ain't their place. Separation of church and state, and back up and just put our trust and faith in God and say, Lord, I take your peace. I thank you for the peace you left me. I receive it. I'm going to live in it. I'm going to go to church and worship with my brothers and my sisters. I'm going to sing to you and praise to you and preach for you. And I'm going to tell people about you. And I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. And I'm going to trust in the peace of God to get me home whenever that is. And I encourage you, do the same. I wouldn't waste another minute of my time worrying about this mess. If we stop and unplug it all today, we've wasted so much time. The church is almost 2 years behind. These churches still ain't opened back up. We're not going to get all them souls back that have been lost. We're not going to get all that time back to redo. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let that sink in. It's there for you. It's there for me. Listen to this verse of Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm almost done. Give me 2 minutes. That next verse, he said, finally, brethren, this is good advice for, if you didn't leave with nothing this morning, leave with Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This is to be the best advice you'll get all week long. Listen, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if they be any virtue, if they be any praise, think on these things. If we would take that advice from God, and just cut the TV off, cut the radio off, cut the tablet off, and cut the phone off, and just let all this noise go away, and just think on the good things of God, it would bring sanity to a lot. That's right. I'll close this morning. Psalm 23, everybody knows that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he goes on to talk about how he, let me read it to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I heard this a while back, and it's worth sharing, and we'll close with this morning. Every shepherd knows this, and if you'll study the shepherds in the Bible, they would carry a staff, as everybody knows, but they would also carry about an 18-inch pickaxe. They keep it in their belt. And when they would be going and the sheep would be tired and thirsty and hungry, and the shepherd would take them sheep down and they'd find a body of water. And a lot of times it'd be a raging river or a creek that was rushing. And you know, a sheep won't drink out of running water. A sheep gets down to that water, and if it's not still, calm water, a sheep, no matter how thirsty they are, no matter how weary they are, they will back up from it, scared to death, and won't touch it. And somewhere down the line, shepherds figured that out and knew that if he was going to be a good shepherd, he would have to make provisions and make different ways around that, because you wasn't just always going to find still water. And so the shepherd would take that little 18-inch pickaxe, and he would go up to that rushing water, and he would go ahead of the sheep, and he would go down and dig a little ditch out, and there out of that rushing, raging water, and that creek or that stream would come and puddle and be just a still, smooth little vessel of water that he would create for them and make for them. And if a shepherd would do that, and David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And he's your shepherd if you save him. And if they figured that out, how to do that for animals and sheep, God knows and God's willing and able to go ahead of you and make provision for you. And if he has to pull out an axe and dig you a trench to get you some still water, he'll see to it to bring you. Listen, if Jesus thought enough about these boys to, while he was dying, to say, I'm going to leave for you and give you my peace, I promise you, he's not going to leave you stranded, thirsty and dry. He's made every provision for you. And there's no sense or reason for any of us living without the peace of Jesus. You don't have to. If you do, and if I do, and I have, I've done it by choice and out of ignorance. But according to the Word of God, you do not have to live a life peaceless. You can absolutely live a life full of peace. And the world will look on and say, how are you getting through this? Man, is this not bothering you? Is this not scaring you? Is this not? Nope, I'm doing just fine. Amen. And they'll look puzzled at you. And just that's a perfect opportunity for you to share with them the power of the peace of the Lord. And it is powerful. It'll help you and help your family and help this church. Let's stand together. I kept you way too long. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, you'd take, Lord, these scattered thoughts this morning and speak to our heart. Lord, I pray you would help me and help these, Lord, to trust in you, God, to believe in you, have confidence and faith fully in you, Lord, because you do all things well. God, you have our best at heart. And, Lord, we trust you this morning. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for leaving this great gift to us and for us, Lord, the peace of God. Help us now as we go our separate ways today. I pray you'd go home with every family, every person. I pray, oh God, if there's anybody here this morning that's lost, that's never experienced the peace of God, I pray, Lord God, that you'd introduce yourself to them and give them the greatest gift they've ever received. And Lord, for those that are saved, help us, Lord, to trust in you and receive what you've already provided. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you at Liberty. See you tonight, 6 o'clock.